Welcome to the Sound Words Podcast, where our goal is to help Christians love and live out God's Word. I'm Pastor Aaron Nicholson, and I'm here with Pastor Jesse Randolph and my dad. Hi, Dad. Thanks for being here.
Aaron, thank you. So glad to be here.
Well, glad you're here, too. Well, Dad, back in college,
yes, sir.
Way back,
yes.
Like Civil War times, right?
Right. That is true.
You majored in broadcasting.
Yes, sir.
Right? So are you ready and excited to finally use the full learning of your broadcasting degree?
I am. I mean, it was 1979, and the equipment was a lot more. I think everything was hand cranked and a lot of cobwebs around. So,
hand-cranked recording studio.
Oh my goodness, yeah. So this is pretty up to date here.
Well, awesome.
I'll try to be up to date.
You're up to date.
Okay.
But just a little background about my dad, if you don't know Dave Nicholson, below Jesus Christ. My dad is my hero, and you've been faithful throughout my life in teaching me in your example and your words and from sharing the gospel with me when I was 4 years old and singing Holy, 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 which I do with my son now, to encouraging me now to ministry and evangelism and leadership in my home and in church. So thank you, Dad. You're a model for me. You're a model for all who know you and see you. And so no pressure today.
Oh, I'm a blessed man. Thank you, Aaron. I mean, it's by God's goodness that he allowed me to get married to your mother and my beautiful wife. 38 years.
Yesterday. Happy
years.
Anniversary.
Thank you. And so God bless us with three beautiful children, and you're one of them. So thank you, Aaron.
Thanks, Dad. Thanks. Well, listeners, you're in for a treat today.
Absolutely. And this is now Pastor Jesse Randolph just jumping into this father-son time awkwardly, feeling like I have nothing to contribute. And this is all about you, Dave. Thank you for, like your son just said, for your witness, your example. We're all gleaning from that in the ways you poured into your children, especially this guy right here, who is such a blessing to me and to our church in the pastoral side of things. And I'm super excited for today's podcast. I've been looking forward to this one for a long time.
Good.
To get to sit with you, learn from you, and now have our listeners learn from the wisdom the Lord has given you over the years. So I know it's a bit of a family affair, but I'm just kind of injecting myself into this one and hoping maybe you'll adopt me as a fourth child.
And you're in.
We're already in. Brothers in Christ. So you're already in.
There we go. Well, Dave, I have just a starting off question, just by way of our listeners getting to know you better. Okay. Could you share a little bit about your background? Where are you from originally? How you came to faith in Christ? When did you get saved? How long you been in Lincoln? Those sorts of things.
Okay, great. Well, born in Topeka, Kansas, and became a KU Jayhawk fan early. So I've been wayward for quite a while. And my twin brother and I became fans. My older brother, Mike, was a K-State fan, so that solidified our reason to be KU fans. So God blessed me so much. I was raised with believing parents who loved Jesus Christ. And because of that, they were constant in their influence on God's word, God's life into my life. But at age 12 was the turning point which I truly became saved. Probably the key verse that moved me towards that was James 2. Verse 10, that says, whoever keeps the whole law yet stumbles at one point has become guilty of them all. Growing up in a wonderful, godly Christian home, quote unquote, I didn't do a lot of outward sins. And for a while there, I thought, well, I'm saved because I'm in a Christian home and I go to church. But it was interesting when you read in Scripture that verse, then in Matthew, Matthew says, if you hate your brother in your heart, you have committed murder. If you call your brother Raka or knucklehead, you are worthy of hell itself. So during that time, when I was 12, it was during the Charles Manson murder trials in California, and you'd look at him on TV and say, gosh, this guy is Satan himself, or at least he's Satan's brother. This guy deserves every bit of punishment he's about ready to get. And then that verse came on, and then in Matthew, Jesus said, it's your heart is the key. Physically is not the key. The key is the heart. And I go, boy, I'm a murderer. I am a murderer. And so that what I realized, boy, Lord, save me. I'm a wretch. I grew up good, but I'm not good. And God saved me. So that's kind of where I'm at on as far as my background. I moved here to Lincoln in 1982. And I was involved in an organization called Youth for Christ, and they had a chapter here, and I worked here. And then God moved me to different employment. But gosh, I've been here in Indian Hills Church now since 82. How many years is that? 40 years. 40 mm-hmm. years. Yeah. So I met Cindy when at a Thanksgiving banquet 39 years ago, and we got married, and we just celebrated our 38th year here yesterday. So anyway.
Praise the Lord.
That's where God's brought me.
That's amazing. I have a couple of follow-up questions. One is, you were identifying sort of that, the Manson connection there. That sounds kind of weird to say on this podcast.
It does.
but were you essentially comparing yourself horizontally to other people? Is that kind of what you're getting at? Like, I'm better than this guy. I'm better than that guy. That must mean I'm good before God.
Absolutely. Yeah. I didn't smoke. And at 12, I wasn't drinking, wasn't taking drugs, or wasn't involved in anything, quote unquote, externally. You look at my life, and people used to call me when in junior high, I took a Bible to church or a school, grade school, and they called me preacher boy. So, you know, outwardly, I never cussed, never did anything like that. So, but it was all external.
That's such a helpful reminder for our listeners. And we don't know always who's tuning in, but just a great reminder that salvation starts with recognizing who we are, not in comparison to fellow man, but who we are before a holy God. Mm-hmm. And you're just bringing that out, right? Mm-hmm. We have that natural tendency to say, thank the Lord, I'm not like that guy. That's in the scriptures.
Right.
But it's really about, wow, I don't measure up to God's holy standards, James 2:10.
Absolutely.
And I need a perfect one to stand in my place and to take on my sin debt. So praise the Lord. Amen. That was my first question. My second question was, and this is a really, really serious question.
Okay.
Are you still a Jayhawks fan?
Yes, sir. I am.
Look at this basketball. Blue. He's wearing blue.
Blue. We might need to cut the podcast.
Basketball. I mean, you know, when I moved to Lincoln, I found a real football team for a while. They're struggling at this point. Sorry, Pastor Jesse, for that. Yeah. So, KU basketball fan. And
okay.
So if Nebraska and KU are playing each other, I will pull for KU.
Okay.
That's
easy to say. They won last year. Come on.
That's true. Anyway.
So grateful for you, Dave. Praise the Lord for your testimony and what the Lord has done in bringing you from darkness to light.
Yes.
Yeah. Amen.
Saved a wretch like me. Mm-hmm. So amen.
Amen. Well, Dad, could you talk about your experience with MS? I mean, for listeners who don't know you, my dad has multiple sclerosis. Mm-hmm. It's an autoimmune disease. He's in a scooter full time.
Yes.
So Dad, could you share, when did you get it and how does it impact your life and how has it impacted your life, your relationship with God?
Okay. Well, I got it in 1994, and at that point, I was perfect physical shape and thinking that I remember going to a doctor's office like a couple of months earlier, and he pulled out my chart, and it was like paper thin, maybe one page, and I thought, boy, I'm pretty healthy. I'm pretty good. And then I came down with it that night, 1994, and went into I went unable to run and stuff until when 1997, it's a debilitating disease. It affects the nerves. The nerves get short circuited, so they don't give the proper signal to the muscles. So slowly I got, you know, worse and worse and worse. My extremities became unable to use them. Then I went to a power chair in 2014. So I haven't walked since probably 2013. So that's happened, yet God has used it for his glory. I love many passages of scripture. Well, maybe I can share this one. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. For momentary light affliction is producing for me an eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. So there's many Bible verses that I use. I just love that momentary light affliction. And it is, you look at me and say, boy, he has momentary light affliction, but we all have it in our heart and our mind. Something keeps us on our knees, if you will. And this certainly does keeps us humble and asking for God's grace every moment, every day. So I use scripture a lot to help encourage me, and God has used it to change me and to make me more like him. You think of, you know, the Apostle Paul, goodness, the things that he went through physically are just astronomical. There's no way that, Lord willing, I won't be left out in the middle of an ocean overnight or anything, maybe at Holmes Lake. I guess that'd be pretty bad. I love what 2 Corinthians 9, he says, but I discipline my body, I make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I will not be disqualified. So you look at that, I mean, he, after all this, he still says, I'm beating my body and make it more submissive to Christ. I go, my goodness, that's a tremendous example. God used him and Job and others to help us remind us that God is in control. Even if the events look pretty bad, God is in control. His will is perfect. And I love what Philippians 3:8 Paul said, more than that, I count all things to be lost in the view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, but count them but rubbish in an order that I might gain Christ. So trials, MS has brought me to greater dependence on the Lord. I wish I could say every minute I'm that way. I'm not. Every now and then I complain about it. I wish it was different, but this is a perfect will for God for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dad, and you always teach me about when Paul says, you know, I have a thorn in the flesh, and I asked the Lord to remove it. Three times I asked, and he didn't, because God, you know, wanted to use it in Paul's life, says, my grace is sufficient for you. Mm-hmm. And you're so good at quoting that just when you're going through the trial. And I know you've prayed for this. I've prayed for this to be lifted from you. Mm-hmm. But for whatever reason, God has deemed it best
to give you this. Stay under it. Allowed me to stay under it.
Yeah. Amen. So thank you for your example and teaching people how to go through trials.
By God's grace, God's power. It's always his power.
That's incredible. And I can't help, as you go through those scriptures, Dave, to think of eternity. I mean, if you could put a bow on all the passages you just cited, it's that eternal perspective, that this is a light and momentary affliction, that Paul says in Philippians 3:8, so that I may gain Christ, that eternal fellowship with him, that being with him forever. And sometimes in our fully functional bodies, maybe your pre-1994 body, it would have been, that might've been a more distant thought or could have been a more distant thought.
Absolutely.
But I wonder if in the state that the Lord has allowed you to be in now, if there's even that yearning, that longing for glory that has been even more sharpened or refined over the years.
Sure. Oh, absolutely. I'm ready for the Lord take me home any day to get that new body eventually. to be perfect, but the greatest moment, greatest thing in heaven is being no sin, no
That's
thought,
right. That's right.
No evil, nothing coming through your mind, whether it's through your body or your mind. But so that's the glorious hope, the anchor to the soul, no matter what happens here on earth. Someday we'll be all gone, it'll be perfect, peaceful, and we'll have no sin. That's going to be great.
Amen.
And something else I heard you say too is, you know, you're talking about how you have MS and instead of focusing on the disease and on the cures or the different treatments out there, you focus on the Lord and you set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth. And that's so helpful for me and for the listeners to know that any trial that we're going through, it doesn't help to just focus on yourself and to, you know, think about how it's affecting you and what you can't do. And, but to look to the Lord and to encourage others and to, comfort others because God is the God of all comfort who comforts us in our affliction so that we can comfort others with the same comfort. Mm-hmm. You're so good at that.
Well, thank you. I believe in Romans 8:28, not because I'm supposed to say it, but I believe it. All things work together for good that those who are in Christ. And that's so important to keep in mind because when unbelievers look at your life, they look and say, boy, God has dealt that man a bad hand. And he should have no joy, no peace. There should be no comfort in his life. And so God has used MS to help me depend on him even more.
That's so, so helpful. And you just use that word joy. And I think anybody who I've ever heard mention you has linked that word to you, joy. Yeah. That man has the joy of the Lord. So praise God. And Dave, I just want to ask you this question. Where does that joy come from ultimately? And what lifts up your spirits in times maybe where that focus is maybe a little bit more inward, or you're going through a time of more physical trial or difficulty? Where do you find that source of joy?
Well, as you have begun our study in the book of James, look forward to your discussion on James 1, 2 through 4. Mm-hmm. It says, consider it all a joy, my brother, when you go through various trials and temptations, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect work in you, that you'll be lacking in nothing. So the joy does come from the Lord. And then from there on, God has blessed me again with a wonderful wife, Cindy, who supports me, loves me, holds me up. And then being blessed with Aaron and Ashton and Audrey, my three children, son and daughter-in-law. They're just wonderful, and seven grandchildren. So the other is just the body of Christ here. There are many going through greater difficulty than I'm going through. And I look at them, they show up on Sunday, and I've told a couple of them, I said, just you coming to church is an encouragement to me, that you would minister to me by just coming to church. Because I know a couple of them can't do a whole lot involved-wise, but just their presence. So my joy comes from the Lord. My joy comes through my family. And my joy comes to coming to church on Sunday, hearing great messages from you, Pastor Jesse, from previous Pastor Gill. And all those things, put it together. When you become in the body of Christ, God holds you together. That's his way of ministering to you, is by being involved in the body of Christ.
So you probably have some good insight on this. How, you mentioned that people at church encourage you. In what ways can we encourage others who are going through affliction or trials? You know, what kind of things are helpful for us to say or do when we want to encourage somebody?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would say probably the biggest thing is when you do see that person, just come up to them and say, hey, I want to tell you that I'm praying for you. I want to tell you that I love you. I'm so glad you're here. You make a difference in my life. And share scripture with them, even if you're not sure if they quite understand. Hey, a verse that I just learned the other day was this one. Let me share it with you. And my go-to verse before I forget is, you know, whenever we go through difficult or trial, whether it's physical, spiritual, mental, emotional, and you're reading scripture and there's a verse that says, boy, that describes me. That's exactly what I need to hear. Then that's the one you memorize. Psalms 119 verse 92 says, if thy word had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I had a lady share that with me about 2 months after I had MS, and I'll never forget it. I said, boy, that's perfect. So that's what I do. When you see those folks, encourage them, love them, tell them, I'm praying for you, and share a scripture verse if you can. That would be good.
That's great. I love the personal touch that you just mm-hmm. brought into that. You know, we can sometimes get into the habit of just, you know, quoting scripture, almost like drive-by scripture quoting, and not really minister to the person. Of mm-hmm. course, the power is in the word. We would all affirm that. Mm-hmm. But even what you said, you know, I just want to encourage you. I want to let you know I love you. Mm-hmm. This scripture has been on my heart as I pray for you. Mm. That shows the person that there's this connection, that you really do care for them and love mm-hmm. them. You're not trying to drop the scripture on their lap and get out of the conversation that's making you uncomfortable.
Right.
You're actually trying to minister to them.
Yes.
And you're bringing that to bear, which I really appreciate.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we talked about, you know, ministering to somebody who is going through the trial. How about for the person who's going through the trial themselves? What encouragement would you give to those who are going through various trials, physical trials, mental trials, or even emotional?
Well, again, burying yourself into God's word. Thy word I've treasured in my heart so that I might not sin against thee. So without God's word in your heart, you're going to struggle. You know, a trial is difficult enough on its own. Why make it even worse and be bitter, complain, and hate what's going on? You should just stand, lay there, be there, and just say, God, work through me. You know, Job said, though he slay me, yet I will praise him. So I would, again, encourage people just to bury themselves into God's word. It keeps your eyes off of yourself. Many times when I've been through that struggle, reading and quoting and sharing the gospel with others is a great way to keep your joy high. Just last night, maybe that's one of our questions, but just last Wednesday night after your class on evangelism, and again, remind me how important that every person you meet is a sovereign appointment. Mm-hmm. Whether it's the maintenance guy, whether it's a restaurant worker, whatever, everyone you get a chance to speak to a little bit more than just normal conversation. God has placed him. So I had a medical worker at our house Wednesday night, and the medical worker who I've seen three or four times, and Cindy and I have met her, she said, "Where you been?" I said, "Well, I was at church learning evangelism, how to share the gospel better." She goes, "Oh, that sounds very good." I said, "So can I ask you a spiritual question?" She said, "Sure." So I asked her, "Do you know for certain where you're going to spend eternity?" And she said, "Well, hope heaven, but I don't know for sure." Then the next question is, "Would you like to know for sure?" And she said, "Absolutely." So I went through the gospel. After going through the gospel very thoroughly, she listened intently. And that would be another reason why God has put me, having MS, people look and listen a little harder when they see a guy coming at them in a power chair. And again, they, I think I mentioned already, boy, God has dealt that guy a bad hand. And when they see joy and peace, they wonder and they listen a little harder. And she, after I shared the gospel, said, "Boy, Dave, I knew there was something because you never complain and you have peace and joy, even though you shouldn't." And I never forget when I first got MS, I went to a doctor who was a believer. And I asked him, "Well, what do people who without Christ, how do they react in news like this?" And he said, "Well, three things. They become bitter. They start taking alcohol and drugs, and they just hate everything about life. That's their only thing that they hold on to. That's all they have." And so God has used it. And I would encourage anybody going through any trial to put a verse in your heart, memorize it. And as you're doing it, try to find ways to minister to people and share the good news, because people will listen a little harder. You're laying in bed with tubes coming out your body, and you have a nurse and a doctor standing over, and you have some joy, and they go, "Wonder why?" And I can tell you, my dear friend, because I know for certain where I spend eternity. I know that God will never fail me nor forsake me, even though it looks like he's failing and forsaking me. He is not. Every day, is every breath I get is a blessing from God.
That is so powerful. Yeah. That is so powerful. Our people are going to just benefit so greatly from that. Mm-hmm. Both to hear your diligence to look out for opportunities and to share, mm-hmm. but also to adorn the gospel with your life, mm-hmm. right? So what a word of encouragement, but I also think maybe a word of warning to us mm-hmm. about our own grumbling, about mm-hmm. whatever that might be on our plate that week, you know? The bonus we didn't get or the kid that's driving us crazy, we can't let that get in the way of the reality that we are witnesses for Jesus Christ in this world and in our community. Mm-hmm. And to take Dave's example as to heart about making sure we're not stumbling in our witness, not stumbling others over our witness because we're living inconsistent with the gospel that saved us.
Mm-hmm. Amen. I think it's such a supernatural, powerful testimony to point to you and say, look at what God can do. You know, I mean, the outer man is decaying, the inner man is being renewed day by day. And that may be invisible in some ways, but it's also very visible because somebody like you, Dad, shows the fruit of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And that is evidence of the Spirit.
Well, Satan would take trials and try to make it a heyday for believers to shoot those fiery missiles at them and to make them become selfish, become self-centered and not externally serving the Lord and trying to follow him. You know, I'm sure when God said to Satan, "Hey, you can go after Job. That's okay." I'm sure Satan was rubbing his hands saying, "I'm going to get him. I'm going to get this guy to stumble." No wonder he loves you. He has everything. You take it all away and he will not love you. So it's a fight. And you know it's out there. And you know, since he can't take your soul, Satan will do whatever he can to make you ineffective for him, for God.
Wow. Thank you for those awesome exhortations and encouragements, Dad. I really appreciate it.
You bet.
Well, we'll wrap up the episode here. Thank you for listening to the Sound Words podcast. Thank you, Dad, so much for being here and for sharing your wisdom and the way God has worked in your life. I know our listeners will be very encouraged by that. Pastor Jesse, do you have any last words here for our episode?
No, Dave, just wanted to say thank you so much for being on the podcast. You are, since my family came to this church, you've been such an encouragement, and I know you've been to so many others over the years. So press on, brother, keep fighting the good fight, and just encouraged to be a part of the same body as you and to learn from your example. And then the final word is 2 Timothy 1:13. Retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus.
Awesome. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.